Okay, I want you to know I can't see you for the most part. This light is blinding. But you can see and you can hear me. For those of you who don't know me, which I don't know the majority of you, my name is Mika Buffington. I'm from Calvary Chapel, Inglewood. My husband is the senior pastor, Pastor Bill Buffington. And we've been serving together now for about 26 years, 13 years at Calvary Chapel, Inglewood. Now, pastor wife is not the sum of, I guess you would say, what I do. I am a multi-vocational domestic engineer, and I'm like, that's a big job because it involves so much. So I'm a human resource director, training development manager, a personal chauffeur, a fashion consultant, and a personal shopper. But I'm also a fulfillment manager and a referee. That one can be fun. A secretary, a dog walker. How many of you have dogs? Yes, I'm a dog walker as well. I'm an editor, a pharmacist, and a nurse. Yes. So you understand how this topic can be one that even I need, right? I'm also a travel agent. How many of you like to travel? Yes, I'm a travel agent. I'm a caregiver, and it just goes on. So sometimes I sit back and like, Lord, you gave me all these jobs. How am I supposed to do this, right? But like many of you, all I really said is I've been married for 26 years. I have 4 kids, 3 dogs, and all of those are the things I do and don't get paid for. How many of you have those kind of jobs? Yes, we all do. We're women, right? So I'm a Christian woman, wife, like I said, 26 years. And if most people say I'm a stay-at-home mom, that's really what I am, right? But all of those things that I listed, those are jobs. And God sees all everything that we do, whether we get paid for it or not. And he's concerned about those things. Those jobs that you don't get paid for is just as important as the jobs that people go out and get paid for. And probably more important because your first ministry is home. Not what you do at church. Not what you do that you get paid for at work. Your first ministry is home. So don't get confused thinking that you're so important because you have this title or that title at church. Because God is looking and he sees and he knows and he wants you to represent him well in all that he's given you to do. The verse we're going to kind of circle around is going to be Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to man. Remember, we serve the Lord. Whether people say, thank you, great job, that was wonderful, it doesn't matter. Because that's not who you serve. Those things may make you feel good, and that's okay. And it's a nice little encouragement, pick you up sometime. But just as quickly as people can tell you great job, they can say, ooh, did you see what she wore? Oh, her voice is so squeaky. You know, you're going to have those fans and you're going to have those haters. So keep your eyes on the Lord and you will be able to weather all of that. How you work matters to God. He is worthy of our best all the time, whether it's for one or for 500. Really, it's for him. So don't get discouraged. If you're working in children's ministry, how many children ministry workers do we have? Okay, now let me say, how many small church children's ministry workers do we have? Small church children ministry can be hard. Not that big church can't. Y'all have different problems. But small church could be hard because sometimes you're the children's ministry person, but then you're also the snack put together-er, and you're the calendar-er, and you're, you know. small church issues. And then you get three kids that show up, and you had prepared this great lesson and bought enough stuff for 12, and you get three, right? But those three matter to God. And he still wants you to pour into those three with all the fervor that you would if it was 25, if it was 100. That is still the same job, to pour into those hearts. He's interested in how we do what we do, our thoughts, our speech, our attitudes. Remember, people that we serve are his people, and he cares about them. Now, what you're going to do right now on your worksheets, if you don't have a worksheet, raise your hand. Someone will bring it to you. We're going to go through that worksheet together. We are going to glean from Jesus this morning and hopefully walk away from here with a plan that comes from him and ready to implement and be refreshed and see him in everything that we do. Okay? So you're going to take 2 minutes right now, and where it says, my many hats, you are going to write down the many hats that you wear. And I want you to be specific. Maybe you're the accountant. I'm an accountant. Accountant for my household, right? Like I said, I'm a pharmacist. My husband will say, what drugs you have? I have a headache. I have this. I have that. I have something for it, right? All of those different hats you wear, you're going to have 2 minutes starting right now to write down your many hats. Mom, sister, those general things, they don't work. Specifics, please. Don't forget, I know some of you in here are loan officers to those adult children of yours. And I know you have much more. Don't just use those lines there. Go all around the hat, like you were in third grade and you're doing that mind, that brainstorm thing that you had to do before you wrote a story. Do that. Yeah, some of you are legal consultants, landlords. All right, ladies, finish the one you're on. Then let me have your attention again up here. I want to hear a few of these. Some that I didn't name. Anybody, shout it out. Let me hear it. A cook? A therapist? A chef? A boarding house? Life coach? A gardener? A babysitter? Wait a minute. What? A laundromat. Okay. Yes. Yes. What was this one? Tech support. Tech support. An IT person. Absolutely. Yes. A maid. A referee. Yes. A professional grandma. Okay. Look, I got you on that one. I hear you. Okay. And all of these things that we named, it may sound weird and people think it's quite cliche, but really, everything that we named, we could look to Jesus as our example for that. And people always say, Christians always say, it's in the Bible or look to Jesus, but it's real. And what I found is that all the other books on the market about being this, the best this, or doing this great, really, they took the principles from the Bible, took Jesus out of it, and remarketed it, and selling millions of them, right? But we have the perfect example in Jesus, and the perfect example in doing it well, in doing it, just excelling in it. In John 8:29, Jesus, we hear it, he say, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. When I read this verse, there's a few words that stick out to me. Number one, the Father has not left me alone, so I'm not alone, and I always do those things that please the Father, that pleases Him. So it leads me to question, do I always do those things that please Him? Because that's what I want. My heart wants to please Him. I'm sure your heart wants to please Him. And we're never alone. So we always have Him with us to empower us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to teach us. But we have to look to Him. The other thing that this verse tells me is that if Jesus always did those things that please Him, it tells me there were some things that Jesus didn't do. So then I start to think about all the things that I do or need to do or I'm expected to do, and I ask myself, do these things please Him? Because if they don't please Him, I don't need to do them, right? And so we need to question that, and we need to be okay with not doing certain things. Because some people want to make us feel like, oh, no, you have to do this. This is what this person expects and that person expects. But really, we belong to God. God is who we serve. And if we remember that, we'll alleviate a lot of the pressure and the anxiety that comes with doing the things that we need to do. So, being faithful. We need to follow Jesus' example. And so in all of the things that you just listed around your hat, He's going to show us how to do them. Because you listed kind of titles, but those titles have jobs with them, right? Duties, tasks that we have to accomplish. And so how do we do them and do them well in a way that pleases God? So, looking at Jesus, we're going to give you some points here. We're going to give you 6 points, and we're going to look at what Jesus did. Jesus was faithful. He was never frazzled. There are some times when we have so many things that we feel like we have to do. We're running around like a chicken with our head cut off, and we don't know where anything is. And it's like, I know, I just put it here. Where is it? And you're just being a mad woman. And people are like, well, she sit down somewhere. I need her to stop. Or the attitude gets short, and then you're not pleasant to be around. And your husband is like, oh, here she goes again. I just wish she would quit, you know? We know those people. And if you're honest with yourself, sometimes you are that person. And so hopefully today you walk away with a new way to look at all of this, a new way to do what you do for God. Jesus was faithful to His call upon His life. So ministry is rough if you were not called to it. If you stepped into ministry so that you could have a title or people could think that you're more Christian than you are, that's maybe why you're having a rough time at it. If you stepped into ministry because God called you, and He equipped you, because He did equip you. He will not call you and not equip you. So it's a lie from the enemy that you're not good enough. You don't know enough. That's a lie from the enemy. If He called you, He has equipped you, because that's what He does. Jesus, what we'll see is Jesus stayed focused on the mission set before Him. And that's what we need to do as well. So, okay, let's jump in. As we look to Jesus, we see that Jesus prayed. That's going to be on your first line there. Looking to Jesus, Jesus prayed. Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed." He talked to the Father. The Father is our commander. God is the one who has the blueprint, the plan. Right? So we need to be in constant communication. Jesus came off of a full day of ministry. This getting up early in the morning, this was after a full day of ministry. He had already taught in the synagogue, cast out demons, healed Peter's mother-in-law. He also was bombarded by people who brought their sick loved ones and many others that were possessed by demons, and he healed them. He did all of those things, went to sleep, woke up, got up early, long while before daylight. I can't tell you the last time I got up long while before daylight. I don't know about you all, but we were just having a conversation last night, and someone was talking about getting up going swimming like at 6 o'clock this morning. Somebody else said, oh, it might still be dark. I'm like, it's dark at 6 o'clock? Jesus got up a long while. Now, I will say, I get up in the morning, and I pray, and I read my Bible, but it's daylight by the time I get up, okay? But we should start our day like that. If Jesus is our example, he did that for a reason. Because, see, all the disciples thought that they were going to get up and they were going to carry on in that same city, that same town where they did all that ministry the day before. They thought, hey, let's get back at it. People are still here. They're coming. They're ready for us to go out and to do the whatever our task, our ministry is for the day. But Jesus said, we're going to the next town. And they're like, huh? What? I could imagine. Jesus, are you crazy? The people are already knocking down the doors. Next town. Because, see, Jesus heard from God because he met with God. Right? And God gave him direction for that day. And that's the same thing for us. If we meet with God early in the morning, then we could get fresh direction, fresh alignment. There's not, one-way communication is not good enough. We know that this here doesn't say Jesus prayed and God spoke to him audibly, and you know, but we know that God spoke to him because he's like, nope, we got a new orders. We're going to the next town. So our prayers as well, we need to make sure that we're allowing God time to speak back to us. Pair your prayer with reading your Bible. Pair your prayer with sitting still and listening. Come prepared to hear from God. Have something to write with when you're praying. Write down God's response so that you can look back at that. Next thing we see Jesus do as we look to him as our example is we see him do. So he didn't just pray and get the orders. We see Jesus healing people. He taught the disciples and the multitudes. He met with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes. We see Jesus, he cooked. Did y'all know that Jesus can cook? I wish I could taste that cooking. It had to be amazing, right? Because he did everything good. It was a beach breakfast. How many of you have had a breakfast on the beach? Yes. Those disciples were out there fishing all night and everything and frustrated when they came in the next morning and Jesus had fish ready for them. How sweet. Right? Jesus also cast out demons. So there's a lot of references here on the things that Jesus did. And on our list, we'll have a lot, too, the things that we need to do. So see that praying was not enough, because some of us will pray and we'll hear and we won't move. And we'll wonder why things are not getting done. But Jesus prayed. And we see Jesus do. Jesus also delegated. Like Ruth said, he doesn't need us. He blesses us to be a part of what he's doing. Just like those of us with small kids, and they want to be right there with you when you're vacuuming or you're cooking in the kitchen, and they want to help. We don't need their help. Oftentimes, their help is really more of a hindrance because now it's going to take you longer and it's going to be a messier thing, right? But we allow them to help. Jesus delegated, In Mark 14, 35, this is when Jesus sent his disciples off to prepare a place for the Passover, told them to go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asked, these disciples had to have a lot of faith in Jesus to do this. The teacher asked, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He'll show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. So we see Jesus didn't do all the work by himself. The work that God has given you, you don't have to do by yourself. But yet many of us, myself included sometimes, I want it done in a particular way. And I want to know it's done right and on time. And so if I want it done right, what do? Do it yourself, right? But I'm learning too. I need to delegate, because in delegating, you're also training. And so Jesus allowed them to help, and he delegated duties to them. He gave specific directions. So notice, he told them exactly where to go, what to look for, and what to say. The expected outcome was clearly communicated. So as we delegate to others, we need to be clear about what the expectation is. We need to share our heart. Jesus spent time with his disciples, and we need to spend time with those who we are working with. The next thing is deferred. John 11, 1 through 7. We're not going to read this whole passage for sake of time, but this is when Lazarus was sick and dying, and the sisters sent to Jesus, sent him a message. And it says, when Jesus heard that he was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea now." So he got a message that the one that he loved was sick. And you would think, oh, he's sick, let me go ahead and get over there and pray with him and help him to feel better, because he said it wasn't to death. But he stayed 2 days more before he traveled. And they didn't have airplanes, or, you know, he wasn't going to get there in a flash. This was going to be a journey by foot or by camel or something like that, right? But he was not in a rush. He was not frazzled by the message that Lazarus was sick. In fact, he stayed two more days where he was. Everything is not urgent, ladies. Everything is not urgent. And there's times you'll find, or if you pause long enough, something that you think is urgent, and you ask yourself, what can I really do? There's nothing you can do. Pray. That is it. Just Christmas time, no, not Christmas, March. March, my husband and I went on vacation, and we were in Miami. And we live here in Southern California, and I got a phone call from my brother saying that my dad fainted and was in the hospital. He hit his head, broke his nose, and had a blood clot in his lungs. And I'm in Miami. And I am a daddy's girl. The only girl of four boys. And my dad is reaching 80 years old. And there's nothing I can do. I'm in Miami. But the one thing that I could do, which is more than I could do if I was in California, was pray. Because even if I was in California, what could I do to help him other than pray? Right? So sometimes realize that the best thing you can do for someone or for a situation is pray. No matter how much skill or talent you have, prayer, prayer, prayer. Deny is the fifth one. Deny. There are some things that you are going to deny. Some things you're going to not accept that task. And it will be okay. Be okay with saying no sometimes. There's going to be a lot of things to do. There's always a lot of things to do. More things than we can ever do. We have to be okay with saying no sometimes. Jesus did. He's our example. If Jesus did it, then it must be okay to do. The Pharisees and Sadducees wanted a sign, and they were pressing Jesus. They were really testing him is what they were doing. But he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah, which they've already had that sign. And he left and departed. He said, I'm not dealing with y'all right now. It's okay. The last one is rest. I love that they hit on this one in the session. Rest. Jesus rested. Don't be Superwoman. You'll be a bad imitation because she's fake anyway. Right? People trying to have their house all clean, looking like an Instagram photo. That stuff is staged. That house looked like that for that picture. Let it go. We see when Jesus went through Samaria, when he got to the well, he sat down. He sat down and rested. In the bottom of the boat in Mark 4:5-6, up on the storm of the sea, Jesus was in the boat with a pillow, sleep. Now, that's the part that got me with the pillow, right? Not on his arm, but he had a pillow. He was prepared to sleep. In the midst of the storm, when there's so much going on, chaos, because some of us have chaotic lives sometimes. But in the midst of the chaos, we should be able to sleep. Because our rest comes from Jesus. And when we have the peace of Jesus in our heart and when we're focused on him and we understand that he's in control, we can rest. But if we think that we're in control and the world's going to fall apart without us, if we're not awake and if we're not doing this and if we don't set that in order, we will be frazzled. We will lose sleep. We will be cranky. And we will not be easy to deal with. Those are not the women we want to be. It does not represent Jesus well. So we need to pattern our time management after Jesus' example. His example to us is prayer, do, delegate, defer, deny, and rest. Once again, his pattern is prayer, do, delegate, defer, deny, and rest. Praying and reading your Bible, that time with God is never wasted. Never wasted. It is essential time. That last thing on the front page is essential time. Prayer and reading your Bible. We never waste time when we take time to spend with God. This aligns our will with God's will. Because we're living for God, that his will would be done. It teaches us also what pleases God. If this is a problem for you, if you find that you have a hard time reading your Bible on a daily basis, connect it to another habit that you already have. Most of us, I'm going to be real nice. I'm going to make this assumption, and ladies, don't make that saying about assumptions, assuming things being true. You know what that saying is? Okay, don't do that to me. I'm going to safely assume that we all brush our teeth every morning. Okay? So if you have a problem reading your Bible every day, tell yourself you can't brush your teeth until you read your Bible. I bet you it'd become a habit real fast. Right? It sounds ridiculous, but if it means that much to you to read your Bible every day and it means that much to you to have clean teeth and fresh breath, then you make it a task to read your Bible and pray before you brush your teeth. It's essential time. Do it and see how your day changes. God created our bodies in a way that we have limitations. Our brain is a storage place, right? It's also a processing place. It is not a storage place for to-do lists. It's a storage place for memories, okay? Some of us have some memories we wish we could forget, and I understand that, but God can use those things as well, and He will. But your brain is a processing place. It's a transportation place for information. True or false? You only use about 10% of your brain each day. True or false? Many people think that's true. It's actually false. Your brain in entirety is constantly working, even when you're sleeping. If your brain is trying to remember your to-do list, because that's in your short-term memory, you can't give your full attention to the task at hand. As much as we as women want to believe that we can multitask, the brain cannot multitask. What the brain actually does is switch between tasks so quickly that you don't notice it. It's really interesting that information in your brain travels so quickly. The energy that it produces can power a small light bulb. It travels actually hundreds of miles per hour in your brain. That's how God made our bodies. So complex. Also, your brain has no concept of time. That's why your brain is constantly bringing up things. Did you remember this? Did you do that? You're supposed to do this. Did you tell her? Your brain is always doing that because your brain doesn't even know that that person is not even available for you to tell them, right? So you have to tell your brain and what to do and when to do it, but you need to get it off of your brain by getting it somewhere else. And so we're going to turn our mind now to how do we get these things out of our brain so our brain can really give its full attention to the task at hand. Because some of you have been sitting here and your brain is already somewhere else, thinking about the other 20 things you have to do today or what you have to do next week. You're not fully present. And that's our issue with technology nowadays. It has made us think that we could be in so many places at one time when literally you can't. You have limitations. So we're going to declutter our mind, okay? So we're not going to judge anything right now. Go ahead and turn to the next page. We are going to declutter. What I mean by no judgment is you're not judging, can I really do this? How long is this going to take? Do I want to do this? You're just going to write down any and everything that's in your head that you have to do, that you're going to pass on to somebody else, that you need to check on. Just write. Keep your pencil moving. Just write. When I taught third grade for years, I did something called a quick write. It would be right after recess, and really it was just to calm the kids down. But they had 5 minutes, and they just had to keep the pencil moving. I don't care what you write about, if it's a capital letter, a punctuation mark, if you misspell it, it does not matter. Keep your pencil moving. So that's what you're going to do right now. Keep your pencil moving. Write down everything that's in your head. I'm going to go through some and help you along, and just keep thinking, who do you need to call? Who do you need to text? Call Sarah. Tell her to pick up the dog. Call my husband. Tell him this. Be specific. Who do you need to text? Who do you need to write a thank you note for? Oh, I need to buy a birthday present. Put that item on the list. Remember to cancel that bill. Remember that movie somebody told you about that you want to watch? Write that down too. The book that you want to read. Don't forget that linen closet that needs to be cleaned out in the hallway. The junk drawer in the kitchen. Oh, and that commitment that you agreed to last week, don't forget to put that on there. The errands that you committed to, or maybe it's just the ones that's on your regular rotation. And that appointment, the one that you need to make, put that one on there. Probably the three ladies, you know, those health appointments you need to do yearly that you haven't done since COVID, put those on the list. That project that's been on hold, put that on there. May not get done to 9 months from now, but it's still in your head. Get it on the list. Because remember, we're not judging this list right now. We're just putting it all on there. No thoughts about it. Just put it on there. Okay, we're going to move on, but that list is going to continue growing. So as I'm talking, if something else comes to your head, go ahead and add it. It's okay. That's called processing. So now we're going to jump into processing. We're going to process this list. First was decluttering, just getting everything out of our mind. Because when it's out of our mind, then it's in a safe place, so our brain just takes a deep breath. Right? But now comes time to do something with it. We need to tell it what's going to happen. So this, those of you who have an iPhone, raise your iPhone up or your hand up. Yes. Okay. My Android users. My Android users. Let me see you out there. Okay. So this is, I do it digitally. I love notes in the iPhone. If you're an Android user or if you're an iPhone user, you could also use Google Keep, okay? But in notes, I love it because in Google Keep, you could do the same thing, but I can share notes with my husband. Part of my little system here is a shared note. So when I delegate things to my husband, or I need to follow up with him. I gave him something that, hey, can you check on this? And then I need to get back to him and see if he got an answer for me or something. I can share a note, and he can see what I need him to do, and everything just works smoothly. It even works with my adult kids. So in processing, I suggest do it digitally because we always have our phone with us, ladies, right? Maybe I shouldn't say always, 95% of the time. But if you do it in a notebook or something, you just don't always have it. It's not always convenient. So I suggest that you do it digitally. And so we're going to process into four different categories. It's going to be calendar, next steps, projects, and someday maybe. I love the someday maybe. I'll tell you about that one. But calendar, it used to be back in the day, I'll leave it at that. Back in the day, they would tell you, you know, write everything on your calendar on the day that you want to do it, or choose the 10 things you want to do that day, or top three things. These are my three priorities for today. Scrap that whole system, okay? We're going to learn something here. Calendar, on your calendar. Only put things on your calendar that have to be done, must be done on a specific date or at a specific time. For instance, you have a doctor's appointment on the 24th at 2 p.m. On October 24th, 2 p.m., you put doctor's appointment with whatever doctor it is, right? Or kids' soccer game on the 29th at 3 p.m. So very specific. That's the only thing that's on your calendar. Your calendar is not a to-do list. Once again, your calendar is not a to-do list. Next steps. Next steps is going to be very specific. So instead of some of you put on your declutter, go to Target, go to the grocery store. That's fine, but you're working harder now. Because when you get to the grocery store, then your brain's like, okay, what did I need? So go to the grocery store, get mayo, bread, soup, whatever it is. Actually, that's what your next step is going to look like. Instead of just go to the cleaners, I have take Bill's suit to the cleaners. So I don't have to think about it. Write a thank you note. Okay, who is the thank you note to? Write a thank you note to Susie. That's what I have on my next step. So your next step, you're going to be specific. So your brain, when it comes to look at it, you don't have to think about, okay, what did I mean here? Who is this for? No, it's already there in front of you. Also, next steps are tasks that are 3 steps or less. That's my limit. I have a 3:30 limit on my next steps. 3:30 means 3 steps and no more than 30 minutes. If it takes me more than 30 minutes, it is a project. And projects go on a different list. So getting to projects mean they are more than 3 steps and they take more than 30 minutes. Okay, so projects may be cleaning out the linen closet. That's a project. Project may be organizing my bookshelf. That's a project. That's not a next step. Someday maybe you can dream a little bit. My someday maybe has a bunch of restaurants I want to go to. And it's like, okay, go to, let me tell you exactly what it is. Go to California Cocina in Los Alamitos. That's on my list. Because, see, when my husband say, where do you want to go eat? I don't know. But now I can say, hey, I want to go to this place. Never been there before. Someday, maybe. Someday, maybe, I want the charger you have the charger pad in your car. You don't have to have the plug anymore. You can just set your phone. That's what I want. I want to change out my center console to have one of those. That's a someday maybe. It's not something that I have to do, even need to do. It's just a desire. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, no big deal. Dream a little. Someday maybe. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take the left side of your paper that said let's declutter, and we're actually going to process it into these different categories. Okay? So, left side of your paper, open your paper. That's also why your paper is this big and it's just not stapled with a couple sheets of paper together, so you could actually see the whole thing. I know you're not at a table or a desk, but it's okay. So anything that you have on your declutter list that has a date or a specific time, you are now going to put it on a calendar. So whether you're using your digital calendar, your Google calendar, or you're using paper, go ahead and put it right there. If you know that you have a meeting next Tuesday, put it right there on calendar. Meet with Jana at 3:00 on Tuesday or whatever your meeting is. Same thing for projects, those from your declutter list, what are the projects that you have at hand? I ask that you don't do next steps just yet because next steps is going to be a little different. Some of you may have some DIY stuff on your next project list. May have a gardening project. May need to create a fouling system in your home. What is your projects that, and projects are within the year, let's say. Within the year. You know, some projects will be completed next week, some 6 months from now. So if you're doing it digitally or you plan to do it digitally, you'll just start a note. The title of the note will be projects. or the title will know to be someday maybe. But it won't be calendar because the calendar is actually in your calendar, on your calendar app. Okay, let's look at the next steps. Next steps. This is going to be divided according to your lifestyle. So if you're doing it digitally, it will say next steps, just like it does on your paper. But also on your paper or digitally, you're going to have subcategories under that depending on your lifestyle. For me, for example, and I think a few that we will all have in common would be a label for home, meaning where are you going to do this? Where do you need to be to do this specific task? Some tasks can only be done at home. If you need to scrub your bathtub, that can only be done when you're at home. So it will go under home. So I have divisions home, church, because that's where the other part of my life is. Home, church, errands. I have a waiting for, because I have things that I delegate out and I'm waiting for responses, so I need to keep up with those things, right? So think about if there's some area that I didn't cover that is a major part of your life. Another two that I have is at the computer, because there's some things I can only do when I'm at my computer, and then phones/text messages. So that should be a good start for you to be able to now fill in the rest of your decluttered items under next step. So for instance, on my next steps, I have people I need to make phone calls or send text messages to. So all of those people would go under that part. But not just their name, not just call Mike. It's call Mike about security alarm. Notify this person about this situation. So when I'm looking at that and I'm about to make that phone call or send that text message, I don't have to wonder about what I need to call Mike about. So you're being specific under that next step. That's actually what it is. What do I need to do next to accomplish this task? At the computer, maybe what do I need to do when I'm sitting at my computer? Create this, download that, whatever the situations are that I need to be at my computer for. Errands is one of my favorite ones, and it really helps me to get a lot done. Because errands, that's all of your store runs, your drop this off, your return that, and you'll find that you're out sometimes. And if you actually look at your errands list before you leave that location that you're about to leave, you'll see that there's three other stops that you can make before you get to your destination that you could check off your list. And it did not require you, you know, getting up and getting dressed an extra time. And it really didn't take that much time out of your day to do it because it was already on your route. So all of those errands, now put under your errands tab. And just keep going down your list. When I'm at work, what is it? What's some specific tasks that I need to remember to do at work? What are some of the things that you're waiting for that somebody was supposed to get back to you for? That's under your waiting, if you choose to have a waiting one. Okay, and once you have all of that down, and I do understand that you're going to have to take this home and, you know, sit with it a bit and really get it in a order that you can work with it, whether it's on paper or digitally, but I tell you, it will work if you work it. So now that you have, let's say you have this all done, right, and we can have some beautiful planners and everything digitally laid out, but if we don't do it, it doesn't matter, right? So get it done. How in the world do you choose what to do? Most people say, oh, you choose according to priority. No. You choose according to location, time, and energy. Location, time, and energy. as I said before, if you're not in the right location, you can't do the task. You can't clean your bathtub if you're at church. Right? So you have to be in the right location. You cannot organize your linen closet if you're waiting at your child's school to pick them up. But you can make that phone call or send that text message. Right? So if you had 3 phone calls on your list and you're waiting in that line for another 15 minutes because school is not out yet, don't spend that time mindlessly scrolling on your phone. Get that task done so when your child gets in the car, you could have that whole conversation about their day. And when you get home, now you don't have to spend time on the phone because you already accomplished that. Right? We have to learn how to maximize that in-between time. As a pastor's wife, I tend to have quite a bit of that. Sometimes you feel like it's not enough time to really do anything useful. You know, it's 10 minutes. I'm sitting here waiting for him to finish talking. Or maybe it's 30 minutes, and I'm sitting here waiting for him to finish talking to the people at church. But in 30 minutes, there's a whole lot that I can accomplish if I know what it is. That's why I say digitally and not on paper. And you may think, I'm not that type of techie person. It does not take a lot to keep this list, okay? If it's 9:30 at night and you're tired, but you still have 15 minutes before the washer finished so you can put those clothes in the dryer because you know you don't want to sit up, you don't want them to sit in the washer overnight because then you have to rewash them. So it's like 15 minutes. I don't want to wait 15 minutes, but it's like, okay, Lord, if I could use this 15 minutes, what do I do? Because if I read, I'm going to fall asleep and those clothes going to be in the dryer, going to be in the washer for too long. So in 15 minutes, I could write a thank you note. I could write a note of encouragement to someone in 15 minutes. Right? Because my energy is low. I have to consider that. My energy is low. So I'm not going to go and mop the kitchen floor. That's why we consider what we're going to do according to location, time, and energy. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes you just don't want to do the task. Even if the energy is right, it could be first thing in the morning, you have the energy and the time to clean out that linen closet, and you're in the right location, and you just don't want to do it. I feel you. You have 2 options at that point. You could go ahead and eat that frog, meaning do the job, or you could delete it from your list and decide it's just not that important. 2 options. And I'll tell you, it's okay to drop it from your list. Because what happened is, okay, I don't have to consider that anymore. It'll get back on the list one day when it started to bother you enough. It's okay to drop it from the list sometimes. Also, work within your limitations. We all have limitations. We talked about that at the last session. Our bodies need rest. One of our limitations is energy. The other limitation that we have is time. We only have 24 hours. Each of us have been given the same amount of time. And we are not God. We can only be in one place at a time, although technology tells us that we could be in Europe right now, right? All we have to do is jump on Zoom and we're there. But that's not true, ladies. Physically, you can only be in one place at a time. So with all the things that we have to do, there are some things that we can do. We can't defy our limitations, but we can work within them. We have access to so many personal servants or maids. And I know y'all probably thinking, I don't got that much money. I really don't have that many. Or maybe I don't have any at all. What is she talking about? How many of you have a washing machine at home? I didn't always have one at home. How many of you have one at home? I do now. Okay. That washing machine is a maid. Okay? You are not taking your basket of clothes to the river to wash them. Okay? It is doing the work for you. Okay? When we got married, and it's lunchtime, so I will go quickly. When we got married, I received a bunch of crock pots for three or four of them. I'm 23, maybe 24, and I didn't care about a crock pot. I didn't know the value of it. And so I either returned them all or gave them away. But when I reached about 40 and learned how to cook something in a crock pot, I learned how amazing this thing was. And I think maybe a year or two later, I upgraded to get one that instead of turning the knob, that I could push the little buttons. I thought I was real fancy. And then I upgraded again to one that has the delay so it cook itself. You know, it started itself to cook while I'm at work or whatever. So work within your limitation. Use your servants. Think about it. You have a dishwasher. That dishwasher could be washing those dishes while you write that thank you note. While you make that phone call. That iRobot can run when you're at work. Use resources. If you don't have them, if you don't have those servants, consider which ones you need to invest in. And one last thing. You've heard it already. You're going to hear it again. And before I tell you that, remember, you want to declutter, get everything out of your head often. Declutter often. Often means, for me, multiple times a day. I don't let it sit in my head. I just made that a practice. When somebody tells me something, I either write it down or put it in my phone. I'll organize it later, which where it needs to go. Okay? Organize regularly. Decide what regularly is for you. For some people, that's once a week. They set a time, a day, and time, and that's when they organize what they need to do. And then, but do, you need to be doing daily. There should not be a day that you don't do unless you're sick. And when you're sick, you should be doing something, and that's resting. Remember, even Jesus took time to rest. That is your last thing. Even Jesus took time to rest. Rest is essential for the body. It's essential for the brain. May we remember and model our time management after Jesus' example, that we would be faithful, faithful women, not frazzled. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for your example that you've given us in Jesus. He is perfect in every way. May we be women who glorify you, who serve you well. We would love to say we always do those things that please the Father, but we do know that we fall short. But that's our heart, Lord. Continue to mold us and shape us to be more like you. We know that you've called us into ministry, and you've given us a great purpose. So as you equip us, as you're so faithful to do, Lord, may we be faithful to do our part and sit before you, to pour our heart to you and be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen.